Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. Great to have you listening into the program. Hope everything is going well around your house today. Off to a beautiful day in North Alabama. God's blessed us, as He always does. We had a little bit of rain yesterday, and that was nice. Got some sunshine this morning, and that's beautiful. And it's a great day to come out and worship God. We'll be doing that this morning at Eastside. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. If you're in the Athens area, we'd love for you to be with us. 9:30 this morning, we'll have Bible classes and then our worship assembly about 10:30. Of course, it's Father's Day, so of course we want to wish all of our fathers happy Father's Day today. Hope things go well with you and you get the honor that you deserve. The Lord says that we're to honor our fathers, and this is a day that, of course, our nation sets aside to do that, and that's a good thing. We don't always necessarily have a lesson about that or focus deeply on that every Father's Day at Eastside, but this morning we are going to talk about it. So if you'd like to be with us at 10:30, we'll be talking about honoring our fathers and how we go about doing that from a scriptural standpoint. And love for you to be with us in that assembly. If you can't be there, catch us online. We stream our services, live stream them on Facebook and also from our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org, and go there and click on the media tab and click on the live streaming. Anyway, we'd be love to have you with us this morning at Eastside. So if you're paying attention to the world much lately, you know that concerns about correcting injustices continue in our country. It's a pretty big topic. I've noticed on some of the talk shows here on VNN this last week, the topic of critical race theory was being bandied about here and there, and whether that's a just thing or not. And you've got all kinds of other situations in not only America, but in the world. You know, there's injustice all over the place. You don't have to look very far for it. You know, there's probably injustice in your workplace. There's injustice in your home. At least your kids would tell you that there's injustice in your home. There's all kinds of injustice in the world. There's social injustice, cultural injustice, racial, political, all sorts. And the reality of it is it does concern us. And so with much attention being given to that in our culture right now, to social and racial justice especially, what can we do to make our nation more just for everyone? How do we overcome the errors of the past? And there have been errors in the past among all kinds of people, really, and against all kinds of people, if you think about it. But I want you to know this morning, as we think about the way that leads to life, Jesus came to show us the way that leads to eternal life, but also to give us a more abundant, prosperous, and happy life while here on earth, a life that is better suited to living a life that's just. So Jesus didn't come to solve every political, social, and racial issue. He came to save us from our sins. That's the big thing. And the problem that we have in the world is not at the core of it. It's not injustice. The problem is sin, if we'll just come to recognize that. If we'll let Jesus save us from our sins, if we'll deny ourselves and follow Him, if we'll love our neighbors more than ourselves, we would be just astounded at how political, racial, and social issues begin to solve themselves. I think that Jesus is really the answer. Of course, to get people to understand that and believe it, that's obviously pretty difficult to do. But if we did that, the world would surely be a much better place, and the kinds of problems that we're dealing with now would pretty much go away on their own. The way that leads to life is a way of truth and justice. If there's ever to be justice, it must be based on truth. And ultimately, truth belongs to God, and truth is found in His Word. God is truth. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In John 17 and verse 17, He prayed to the Father. He said, "Your Word is truth." So Jesus, His Word, all of it is based on truth. As I said, He is the truth. He said He is the truth. We must, if we're going to solve our problems in this world, we must understand that justice must be based on truth. The truth of God's Word, but also the truth of human affairs, past and present. We can't lie to ourselves about what went on in the past or lie to ourselves about what's going on in the present and expect to have justice. Now you say, well, what right do you have to talk about all of this, preacher? You know, you're not a politician. You're not. No, I'm not. That's right. I'm not. And I'm not trying to solve political problems. I'm trying to solve spiritual problems. Spiritual problems have the root of the situation is you have to understand God's truth and you have to understand the truth about your problems, which are sin. So that's what we're talking about this morning. There's a fantastic passage back in the book of Isaiah. I want to start by sharing that with you this morning. Isaiah lived in a time that wasn't much different from our time. He was living in a nation that was supposedly devoted to God, but it really wasn't. It had lots of internal problems, lots of hypocrisy, lots of injustice, lots and lots of injustice. And so Isaiah says this pretty pointedly, Isaiah 59 and verse 1. He said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear." So people wonder, why isn't God helping us? Well, we're not listening to God. Why would he listen to us, right? That's kind of what Isaiah is saying. If you don't listen to him, if you don't do what he's asking you to do, it's not that he can't save. It's not that he can't help. But our iniquities and our sins have separated us from him. Until we repent of our iniquities and sins, you know, we're still going to have our problems. But let me go on in the next verse, Isaiah 59 and verse 3. He says to the people of Israel, "Your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil things and bring forth iniquity." Buddy, if that's not a description of our world today, I don't know what is. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't hardly stand to listen to news reports anymore. Just if you know anything about what's truth in this world, how often we're told lies from politicians, from news reporters, all over the place. It's very discouraging for people who love the truth. We love God's truth. We love the truth that's reality in this world. It's very discouraging. And so it's no wonder we don't have justice. I'll say this now, and we'll probably get to it again before we quit today. And that is that, you know, justice, if we're going to have justice for anyone, it has to be justice for everyone. And if we're going to have justice for anyone, we have to tell the truth. We have to tell the truth about what's going on in our lives, the wrong that we've done. We have to recognize the wrong that others have done as well. If we're going to iron everything out, unless we've got to lay it all out there for everybody, not just for some people. And that's really the problem in the world today. We've got factions in our country, and each side is marching for their justice. But you can't have justice. You can't have justice in isolation from everybody else's justice. See, justice is for all, or it's for nobody. And that's really the problem that we've got today and why we can't find justice in our world. So the Lord wants people, his people particularly, to stand for justice. I'm going to read some passages here that some of them from the Old Testament, but they just demonstrate this principle. I'm going back to the book of Zechariah, prophet of the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 9. Zechariah says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice. Show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless or the foreigner or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother." That's what you do if you want justice. If you want to execute true justice, it has to go along with mercy and compassion. And you're the same way to everybody. You show it to everyone. You don't oppress folks, no matter how easy it might be to do. He mentions the widow and the fatherless or the alien or the foreigner, you know, somebody that's not from around here. You know, how do you treat that person? How do you treat the person who is poor and indigent and not able to help themselves? And maybe it's their fault, maybe it's not, but that's not the point. Are you going to oppress them? Are you going to mistreat them because of their social, political, or economic status, you know? Or their racial status, whatever it might be. We should plead justice for the poor and the underprivileged. Proverbs 31 and verse 9, "Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." How many of us are doing that? You know, we got poor and needy folks right here in North Alabama. We got plenty of them. And if you travel to a third world country, you can see bunches of them. We need to understand that God's people should be on the side of the poor and needy, at least to some extent. We should plead their cause. We should plead their cause. Now, there's lots of other stuff that comes into this if we're going to have real justice for the poor and needy. I understand that. You know, folks that aren't working, they need to work. We understand those principles as well. But listen to what God's saying to us. Psalm 37 and verse 30, we're talking about what responsibilities God's children have to seek justice and to stand for justice in this world. Psalm 37 and verse 30 says that the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom and his tongue talks of justice. Do we talk of justice? Do we talk of justice, real justice for everybody? Or we just talk about, you know, how we feel wronged or how our side's not getting a fair shake or whatever it might be. We're supposed to be talking about justice. The law of God, he goes on to say, the law of God is in his heart. The law of God is in his heart. That's critical. Again, God's truth. God requires us to do justly, to seek justice, to speak of justice, if we're to have fellowship with him. So you want a relationship with God now and in eternity. I hope you do. That's the way that leads to life. Well, we've got to focus on what justice is. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, the prophet says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? That's what God wants of all of us. And that's what Jesus wants of us too. You know, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it shines to all that are in the house. Even so, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Our light shines when we do that which is good in the name of our Savior. Our light shines when we speak his truth, which is light. Our light shines when we seek justice, justice for all, and not just for ourselves. So, is that what we're doing? That's the way that leads to life. That's the way that we need to be walking. Justice is going to elude us until, first of all, we put ourselves in the other person's shoes. Until I can begin to think what it would be like to be, you know, the person who's on the other side of the issue and to walk where they've walked and experience what they've experienced. I'm not saying that changes truth. It doesn't. But you really don't know the truth until you can put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Jesus said, Matthew 7 and verse 12, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You know, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. I think about this a lot. The whole Bible is just a treasure of truth. And every principle in the Bible is good and should be known and applied. But here's a principle that if you just understand it, it sort of helps you do the right thing in almost every situation. If you just get this doing to others what you would want them to do to you, that sort of fixes the problem of what to do that's just in your life. Jesus talked about this. The same kind of principle is repeated over and over again. The command to love your neighbor as yourself is found multiple times in the New Testament. Jesus calls it the second greatest command. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. You want to do what God wants you to do, love your neighbor. And your neighbor is the one who needs you. Now, your neighbor is the one who, as the Samaritan found, is the guy that's beaten by the side of the road with nobody to help him. That's your neighbor. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Do we want justice? Do we really want justice? Here it is. Don't look out for just your own interests. We all have our own interests, don't we? We all have things that we want that are good for our side, whatever our side is. Don't look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. How can we help those who are on the other side? Are we praying for our enemies? Are we doing good to our enemies? If we're ever going to solve our problems in this country and in our personal lives, these are the principles that we have to understand and put into practice. I hope I'm challenging you this morning to think about your world, the world in which you live. And whether you're active politically or socially in matters that are concerning our country right now or not, we're all interacting with others on a daily basis. And these principles are the principles that God wants us to live by, that Jesus wants us to live by. This is part and parcel of the way that leads to life. And if we're not walking this way, we're not on the road. We're not doing what God wants us to do to go to heaven. Now, I want to spend some time here talking about the justice of God and looking at it as the ultimate solution to our problems in this world. God is an all-seeing God, as he's presented to us in Scripture. He knows every injustice that has occurred and is occurring. He knows how to remedy every injustice that has occurred and is occurring. And the justice that he meets out, that he offers us, really, is the only thing that's going to make everything right in the end. And I'm looking forward to that because I do believe the justice of God will make everything right in the end. As the prophets talk about in the Old Testament, you know, every mountain is going to be leveled and every valley is going to be filled. It's all going to be made even when the Lord comes. We can guarantee that. As far as humans getting justice is concerned, we don't do a very good job of it, do we? Our courts don't always mete out justice, at least not from the standpoint of God's truth. There's an interesting thing, though. If you go, a lot of courthouses have in front of them, there's a statue of this person that's supposed to represent justice. And she's a woman, and she's usually blindfolded, and she's holding up scales. Probably you've seen that statue or the picture of that statue at some point. That's supposed to represent justice. And the reason that justice is blindfolded is that she can't tell, you know, who you are, if you're rich or poor, if you're white or black, if you're a Yankee or a Southerner. She can't tell. She's blind to who you are. She's the same for everybody. That's the idea of justice. And I think that's a really good concept. The justice in that sense should be blind. It shouldn't matter how much money you have, how great a lawyer you can hire to get you out of the problem that you got yourself into. That shouldn't matter. You know, justice should be truly, truly blind in that sense. It shouldn't matter if you're rich, poor, black, white, brown, politically connected or not, famous or unknown. That's why justice is blind. She has scales because she's weighing evidence. And the evidence will tip the scales one way or the other. She's just considering the evidence. Again, that's not how justice works in our system, unfortunately. Ideally, justice would be like this, but unfortunately, that's not how justice is in our system. Often in our system, it does matter how much money you have. It might matter what color your skin is in some places. It might matter, you know, whether you have any education or not, whether you're somebody who's not from around here, you know, or not. Those kinds of things might matter in our justice system at times, unfortunately. And that doesn't make for justice. It makes for injustice. But suppose justice had all of these qualities. Suppose that she was blind to who you are, didn't matter. And suppose that she weighed the evidence just perfectly, and the decision came out just depending exactly on how the evidence was weighed, and that she had all the evidence to weigh, you know, then justice would work, right? Our court system would work. Well, even then, probably not. Because here's the problem. If justice were like that, she still couldn't see some things. She couldn't see what's in your heart. She couldn't see what your intentions are. She doesn't understand all of that. She wouldn't understand your background, what you've been through, what brought you to the point that caused you to do or not do the thing that you're accused of, all of that. But you know what? God sees all of that. And that's why his justice is perfect. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. See what that passage is saying? God sees it all. God knows it all. His standard of justice is perfect because he knows truth. He knows it absolutely. But he sees everything that's gone on. He has all the evidence, and he knows even what's going on inside you, all the way, the writer says, to dividing it between your joints and your marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, what you were thinking, what you were intending to do, everything about you. So when God judges, his judgment is perfect. And for that reason, it should both comfort and somewhat terrify us that we are, every one of us, going to stand before the judgment seat of God one day. And he will give out justice, his justice. And the only way that you will escape punishment for the things that you have done, and we've all done things that are wrong, we call that sin. The only way that we can escape that is by the blood of Jesus Christ, because ultimate justice is this: God loves us, and through his grace and mercy, he sent Jesus Christ to pay the price for our sins so we don't have to pay it. That's justice beyond justice. And that's what God is offering you and me this morning. So as we look at this wicked world, this unjust world, where people don't do justice and you can't even get justice in the court of law, know this, that God's going to give justice. And to those who believe on his son, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and those who trust him for salvation, and those who obey the gospel, those people will stand before him on the judgment day with an awful lot of confidence. For God is just, but God is merciful. That's what we're relying on. That's what we're hoping on. That's the way that leads to life. Human beings are going to give an account for their thoughts. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing. You know, all those secrets that you have, you think nobody knows? God knows all of that. All the stuff you think that you shouldn't think, God knows all of that. He's going to bring all of that into judgment. He's all inside you. He knows that. He's going to judge you for your words. Boy, it's really hard to go through a day without saying something that's either mean or unkind or just that you shouldn't say, right? Especially if you speak very many words. And so the Bible warns us, Jesus says in Matthew 12 and verse 36, I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Wow. Every word you speak, give account of it in the day of judgment. And then for everything we do. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And Paul later wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 2 that God will render to each one according to his works. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there's indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. God is going to judge everything about us. Everything about us. And he'll do so with true justice. And as we've said, he has the ability to weigh the intentions of our hearts. We think we're doing right. This is the amazing thing as I talk to people day by day. Everybody thinks they're right. You ever notice that? It's hard to get people to change their positions on just about anything because everybody thinks they're doing the right thing. They've already justified it in their minds. They've already got their reasons. Or if they don't have the reasons, at least they have convinced themselves that whatever they're doing is going to be right because, after all, they're themselves, right? We can't do wrong. We're always going to do right. That's what we try to tell ourselves. But God knows otherwise. The Bible says that the way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. So we think we're right. God knows the truth of that because he weighs our hearts. Proverbs 24 and verse 12 says, if we say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? Will he not render to each man according to his deeds? So God's judgment is thorough, and God's standard of judgment is perfect. Here's the reason then. Let's talk a little bit about why we need to know more about the Bible. It's the standard. It's God's truth. Again, Jesus said in John 17 and verse 17, God's word is truth. So that's the truth we're going to be judged by. When you get to the book of Revelation, you know, at the judgment scene in Revelation 20, books are open, and the books that are open are going to be the scriptures. And we're going to be judged out of those books according to our works. And it's really sad that people are going to be judged by a standard that everybody's got access to in this world today, and nobody knows what's in it. Nobody knows what it says. We don't study our Bibles. We don't listen to the Bible being taught. We're concerned about everything else in the world except the standard that we're actually going to be judged by, which is God's word. And that's why at Eastside, we're really focused on just teaching God's word. That's why we have this radio program. And we offer things like Bible correspondence courses where you can study God's word for yourself. We invite you to go to our website, sign up for one of those, eastside-church.org. Sign up for a study at home. You can study through the mail or email or online. We've got various ways of doing that. But we want you to know the Bible because that's the standard. Listen to God. Job chapter 31 and verse 6, Job says, "Let me be weighed on honest scales that God may know my integrity." Well, the gospel is an honest scale. Romans 2 and verse 16, God is going to judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, the Apostle Paul says. And Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, that he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I spoke, the same will judge him in the last day. So there's your standard of judgment right there, the word that Jesus spoke. And maybe starting with the principle that we talked about a little bit earlier, loving your neighbor as yourself, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. I'm sure we're going to face that standard in the judgment. How are you doing on that, right? How are you doing? Because that's what Jesus is going to be looking at, the things that he said. Someone has said that if life is to be meaningful, there must be a God that ensures justice. And I'm thankful that there is. I'm thankful that as I look at this world that's filled with injustice and all of the machinations and the efforts that human beings are going through to try to get justice in this unjust world. But I know that God's going to bring it. And I trust him for that. And I hope you will too. And it brings a lot of peace to you when you realize that despite injustices that you may suffer, that you see in the world, lies and untruths that are all over the place, God's truth will prevail. You know, people talk about being on the wrong side of history. I'll tell you what, history's not over yet. And it's going to be over when God says it's over. And he will decide who's right and who's wrong. History isn't the judge of that. God is. And where we are right now in the flow of human history doesn't determine that. God's justice is going to settle every issue. As I said earlier, Isaiah 40 and verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain shall be brought low, the crooked places will be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. It's all going to be leveled out when the Lord comes. Isaiah 40 and verse 23, he brings the princes to nothing. He brings the judges of the earth, he makes the judges of the earth useless. So let's say it again. Unless there is justice for all, there is no justice at all. Ultimately, justice for anyone demands justice for everyone. We need to understand that principle in this world, but we need to understand that that's how it's going to be when God returns. God is the only one who can provide that. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Mercy and truth go before his face, Psalm 89 and verse 14 says. Thank you so much for tuning into The Way That Leads to Life, and I hope our thoughts this morning on God and the nature of justice and his truth have helped you. We encourage you to look into his word as the standard of justice and to strive to walk the way that leads to life.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship. Also, join us for Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For free audio or video of the Bible lessons taught at Eastside or to learn more about us, log on to eastside-church.org. That's eastside-church.org. And tune in again next week to The Way That Leads to Life.